and such. But before we move forward, we're going to talk about the significance of the blood and the body of Jesus Christ. I tell you what, God's power is in this room. The Lord's Spirit is very strong in this room. I'll tell you what has been taking place in our youth this week. I would love to just sit here and start telling you testimonies. If I start telling you testimonies, I'm going to break down and I'm going to start crying and blubbering and I'm not going to be able to go on. But I'm here to tell you folks, so many parents, you know, I've talked to these kids. I've seen it in my own sons. There's just something miraculous that has taken place in these kids' lives. Amen. And we are so excited about it. I'm going to open the Bible over to 1 Corinthians chapter 11, and I'm going to go right to verse 23. Folks, God loves you. God has a plan for your life. And we've been saying some things around here lately that I just want to reiterate because we need to let these things sink into us. These are some things that the Lord has been having me to say, and we've been just kind of repeating it over here, you know, the last, you know, several months even. Folks, we started out by saying this, you know, it's not what you have, it's who you have. It's not what you need, it's who you need. You know, the Bible says over there in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 19, it says that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost. The temple of the Holy Spirit, which is, you know, given to us, you know, our lives have been purchased by Him. We are not our own. How many of you made Jesus your Lord and Savior in your life? All right. Well, that means that the Holy Spirit lives within your body. That means that God has made your body His home. And that means the greater one is on the inside of you. Book of 1 John chapter 4 and verse 2 tells us that the greater one, it tells us that greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. God lives in you, and that means every need you will ever have lives in you right now. Praise the Lord. That means that the Savior is with you, the healer is with you, the provider is with you. I'll tell you what, the miracle worker, the answer giver, the guide, the one that has all, you know, all of your life figured out, He is already there with you. And so many times we think we need something else before our lives are going to get straightened around. We think we need a better job. We think we need more money. We think that there's always something else that we need. But folks, the truth is, it's not what we need, it's who we need. It's not what we have, it's who we have. Ask yourself this question right now. Do you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior living in your heart? If that answer is, I don't know, or if that answer is no, folks, do not leave here today until Jesus is your Lord and Savior. You know, there's a scripture that's just playing on the inside of my heart right now. Can you bring up 1 John 5:12? Bring up 1 John 5:12. I wasn't planning on speaking on this verse. All of a sudden, the Lord just gave me this verse right now to share with you. And we're just going to put it on the screen. You can turn over there in your Bibles if you'd like. It says this, He that has the Son, He that has the Son, the S-O-N, He that has Jesus Christ, the Son of God, has life. And he that has not the Son of God has not life. Notice having life has nothing to do with having a heartbeat in your chest or air in your lungs, but you're certainly glad that you have the heartbeat and the air in your lungs, right? How many of you are grateful for you know, the heartbeat and the air in your lungs? But how many of you know that the definition of life is not just your body working? The Bible says you have to have Jesus in order to have God's life. And actually, the scripture says that if you do not have Jesus, the Son of God, the Bible says you're actually dead. You know, we see all the time, you know, in media and movies and TV shows. I've never seen it, but there's a show out there. I don't know if it's still going on, but they call it The Walking Dead. All of a sudden, our society has got an obsession with zombies and all this stuff. You see it all throughout the entertainment industry. Well, we know that that's just fiction, but you know what? There is a true walking dead in the earth today. the walking dead in the earth today is any human being who does not know Jesus Christ on the inside of their heart, who has not confessed Jesus as the Son of God, as their Lord and Savior. He that has Jesus has life, but he that does not have the Son of God has not life. Notice you can have a heart beating in your chest, you can have oxygen in your lungs, but the Bible says you still can be dead. You still can be dead. Boy, this was not what I was planning on sharing. Not what I was planning on sharing. Say, oh my goodness, let's go back to talking about the youth group and let's go back to watching the camp video and things like that. Sometimes the Word of God is challenging. And sometimes the Word is something that really just hits us square in the face sometimes. But it's not because God's mad at you. It's because God loves us. Amen. Praise the Lord. There's another scripture praying on the inside. We better just start following these verses over in our Bible. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. So we see that John said that if you don't have Jesus, you don't have life. Or literally, you could be the walking dead. Oh, wow, Pastor, that's really a harsh thing to say. I'm not saying it. God is saying it. And I'm just relaying the message. Amen. Look over here in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse 1. This is talking to Christians. He says this in Ephesians 2, 1. It says, in you has he quickened. Who knows what the word quicken means? Just go ahead and shout it out. Made alive. He has made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins. Notice sometime in your life or sometime in every human life, there's a time when somebody is the walking dead. There was a time when I was the walking dead. There was a time when I was lost in my sins, in my trespasses against God. There was a time, someone say something funny because I'm going to start crying, right? Is there anybody else that you can remember just mentally? You remember when you were the walking dead? You remember a time before you had life living on the inside of you? There was a time, we better get some funnies going. Where's Reverend Justin at? Yeah, praise the Lord. There he is. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. There was a time when I was lost in my sins, and I could go and read you a whole list. You know, you can probably imagine a lot of awful things, and no doubt that I did them, and many of us were in that place at some point. But the Bible says that every human being at some point is dead in trespasses and sins. And in the scripture, when he says he has made you alive, the only possibility to be made alive is to receive Jesus as your Lord and Savior. See, we need to know and understand this. These are not scriptures that I was planning on. I've got a whole different thing planned here today. But now in verse 2, it says, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. Who is the prince of the power of the air? Satan, the Bible says. According to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the children of disobedience, right? Before we know Jesus as our Lord and Savior, we're dead in our sins. We're called the children of disobedience. We have the wrong spirit. Now look at in verse 3. It says this, among whom also we used to have our conversation or our behavior in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh and of our mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Notice that without Jesus Christ, the Bible says we're just children of wrath. Meaning we're those that will receive punishment and judgment from God. But look at verse 4. Look at Ephesians 2, 4. Look what it says, but God. But God, but God. Is there anybody in here that is glad that it says, but God? When you were dead in your sins, when you were dead in your trespasses, when you were the children of disobedience, when you have the spirit of the enemy, the Bible says, but God, who is rich in mercy. What does the word mercy mean? It means God treats you better than you deserve. Aren't you glad? How many of you know salvation was not our idea? We needed it, but God was the one who thought of it. But God, in his rich mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, look what it says. It says, even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you are saved. You didn't ask God for it, meaning, you know, God, you weren't the one that gave God the idea to save you. By grace, you didn't deserve Jesus Christ. I didn't deserve Jesus Christ. I was dead. I was a trespasser. I was a sinner. And God said, I am going to provide them a way out of that life. But God. But God means that he made a plan to interrupt your sin. We were all on a path to hell, but God interrupted that path. We were all on a path to destruction, but God interjected and gave his son. So that even when you were dead in sin, he made us alive together. By grace you are saved. And it doesn't stop there. It says that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. When you've made Jesus your Lord and Savior, you're no longer the walking dead. You are now sitting on the throne with your Lord and Savior. Amen. And it says that in the ages to come, God would show you the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Has God been kind to us? Has God been merciful to us? Yes. One last verse I want to share before we get ready to receive communion. Go over to Romans chapter 6. The book of Romans chapter 6. But God. I was addicted to drugs at one time, but God. I was addicted to alcohol at one time, but God. I was living a promiscuous life, but God. Right? These kids over here, many of them, you know, were having difficulties, were going through trials and things in their life, but God. God in his rich mercy. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. Romans chapter 6. But God. If you're here today and you've never had a but God moment, make sure you have it before you leave. If you've never received the mercy and the kindness of the Lord, make sure you do. It says over here in Romans 6 and verse 23, it says, for the wages of sin is death. Wow. For the wages, wow, the Holy Ghost is speaking very clearly here this morning. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift, everyone say gift. Gift. The word gift means that you didn't deserve it. He gave it to you for free. You couldn't earn it. You couldn't get there on your own merits. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The wages of sin is death. Now, someone might say, well, Pastor, of course, we know every human being is going to die. But folks, this is not talking about when your body dies. Do you know that the Bible says, and this is what the Holy Ghost, you know, said to me just a moment ago. He said, tell them about the second death. The second death. Say, oh my goodness, Pastor, I thought today was picnic day. I thought this was picnic day. Folks, how many of you know the joy of the Lord comes from knowing the truth? You know the truth, and sometimes, you know, the truth makes us free, and the truth challenges us at times. But then it gives way to joy. Amen. Praise the Lord. And the Holy Spirit just spoke to me. And the chapter and verse is coming to me. I don't exactly have it in my mind, but I know there's a scripture that we're going to flip over. The Holy Ghost said to me, he said, tell them about the second death. The second death. Because Romans 6:23 says the wages of sin. Meaning we're carrying our own sin if we don't know Jesus as our Lord and Savior. Jesus came to that cross to carry the sin for us. But if you've never called upon him as your Lord and Savior, then the wages of sin is eternal death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Have you received the free gift? Have you received it? Go with me real quickly to Revelation chapter 2. I know we're in this neighborhood. There it is. That verse that the Holy Spirit started speaking to me. I didn't have the chapter and verse. I knew the neighborhood. Go to Revelation 2:11. Wow. This is exactly what's happening right now in our midst. Jesus is speaking here in Revelation 2:11. He that has an ear. Do we have anybody with an ear here today? Did you bring your ears? Praise the Lord. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Holy Spirit says to the churches. So the Holy Spirit is, you know, leading me and guiding me to say things to this church so that you will hear his voice. The Holy Spirit is speaking to this church, and the Holy Ghost said to me, tell them about the second death. And of course, in my mind, I say, well, Lord, I'm going to need a scripture for that. And, you know, I knew that there's the scripture concerning this. Not the only scripture concerning the second death. He that has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. Is the Holy Spirit speaking to the church right now? Yes, he is. He that overcomes shall not be hurt of the second death. Notice the scripture says there is a second death. The second death is different from the first death. The first death is when our body dies. And the Bible says that all of us, it is appointed unto man once to die. And after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9:27. We know that our human body will die unless Jesus returns while we're still here on this earth. But the death of our human body is the first death. But the Bible teaches us and Jesus warns us about the second death. Do you know what the second death is? Oh my goodness, am I really? I had such a happier message planned than this. You're in the book of Revelation. Start turning towards the back. Oh my goodness. Pastor, are you serious? You're going to literally read this? Go back there. I believe it's in chapter 20. And I am going to read a passage here. I just know where this is. I need to find the verse. And when you have found it, 14, it's right in front of me then. Aren't you glad for these scholars that attend this church? Praise the Lord. There it is. Revelation 20:14. Look at this. This is talking about, now back it up. Go all the way back to verse 11. Revelation 20 in verse 11. This is talking about the end of all things. And in Revelation 20:11, the Bible says this. John the Apostle is writing this. He says, I saw a great white throne and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Who do you think it is sitting on that great white throne? Your Father, your heavenly Father, the creator of the heavens and the earth. And John says this, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. Notice there's books. What are those books in heaven? They are recording all of our actions, recording our lives, recording what we do. He says, I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. How many of you know you want your name written in that book? And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So there's books that will be opened someday at the judgment that records all the works, all the deeds, all the actions of people. Wow. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire, which is what? The second death. The second death is called the lake of fire. Folks, it is a very unpleasant thing to have the responsibility to communicate this to you. I don't communicate it to you because I'm trying to be controversial. I'm not trying to be dramatic. I would rather just tell a few jokes up here. I'd rather just read a poem. I'd rather just take it easy. But I had something else completely else planned to say here this morning. And while I was sitting down there in that chair, you know, the Lord started dealing with me. He said, when you get up there, I'm going to give you words to speak. Here we go. Folks, I know we've been talking about revival amongst our youth. But when the Spirit moves, He moves in a whole variety of ways. And folks, this is still revival. When the Spirit of God starts to warn us and to lead us, because God is crying out for us because He loves us so much. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. Now, folks, remember what Jesus said in Revelation 2:11. He that overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Aren't you glad? And now, go with me real quickly. Actually, can you just bring it up for me? 1 John 5:4. I believe that's the reference. Totally not in my plans. For whatsoever or whosoever is born of God overcomes the world. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. Now remember, he says, if you overcome, you will not be hurt by the second death. Look at the very next verse, verse 5. Who are the ones that overcome the second death? It says, who is he that overcomes the world? But he that believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Is there anyone in here today that believes that Jesus is the Son of God? Then Jesus promised that you would not be hurt at all by that second death. You don't have to go to hell. You don't have to be scared of the lake of fire. God made heaven for you. God made heaven. And even when we were on a first-rate track right into hell, but God, who is rich in mercy, interrupted that plan. He interrupted our sin. He interrupted the destruction that was awaiting us. And He made sure that He provided a way that the second death would never hurt us. But you have to receive Jesus. That's why the scripture says, he that has the Son has life. But he that does not have the Son of God does not have life. Folks, Family Church does not have a monopoly on Jesus. We are not the only ones preaching truth. Getting saved is not a matter of going to Family Church. Getting saved, Family Church just exists to help you get closer to Jesus. The pastor doesn't save you. Water baptism doesn't save you. Being in church does not save you. What saves you is by releasing your faith in Jesus, calling on Him as the Son of God. Romans 10:9, can you put it up on the screen for everyone to see? This is what you do. God loves you. This room is filled with people that have made this decision before. And if you've never made this decision, like I said, it's not about our church. It's about your heart with God. It says this, that if you shall confess, that means to speak or to declare. If you shall speak and declare with your mouth that the Lord Jesus, or literally Jesus is Lord. And if you shall believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. But God, if this is not about what, a brand of politics that you subscribe to. It's not about an election year. It's not about how much money you make. It is not about how old you are or how young you are. Amen. It's about receiving Jesus as your Lord and Savior. Folks, the greatest thing that anyone could ever share with you is this. Get saved. Get saved. I'd love to have you part of this church. I'd love to be able to teach you the things from the Word of God. It'll bless your life. It'll change your life. But if you get saved and go to another good Bible teaching church, that's wonderful. No matter what, get saved. Because there is a hell. It is not fake. It is not a metaphor. It is not just some representation. There is a hell. There is a lake of fire. But I've got good news. There's a heaven. And there's the Son of God who paid the ultimate price. And if you will believe that God raised Him from the dead, you shall be saved. Now, before we receive communion, we're going to give you an opportunity. Can we go ahead and just close our eyes and bow our heads here? Before we serve communion, before we head up to the water baptism and the picnic, eyes closed, heads bowed, Please ask yourself this question right now. Am I alive? Meaning, am I alive with God? The Bible says, he that has the Son has life, but he that does not have the Son does not have life. Do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? I'm not asking you how good of a person you think you are. You can be the greatest, most moral, wonderful, nice person on the earth, and that will not save you. You can be kind and help others, and that's good, and we should do that, but it doesn't save you. The question is, do you have Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you personally turned to Him and confessed Him as your Lord and believe that He is raised from the dead? Eyes are closed, heads are bowed. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I know that I need Christ as my Lord and Savior. I know I need my sins washed away. I don't want to stand before God and have those books opened one day only to find out that I never made Jesus my Lord and Savior. Pastor, I don't want to get hurt at all by the second death. Jesus doesn't want you to be hurt by it either. And if you're here today and you've never confessed Jesus as your Lord and Savior, now is our opportunity. I'm not going to make you stand up. I'm not going to call you down front. I'm not going to walk up to you. I'm not going to, make an usher approach you or anyone from the church or anything like that. But I am going to ask you to take a step towards God. If you're here today and you know you need to make Jesus your Lord and Savior, I'm going to simply ask you to lift your hand. And when I see your hand, you'll just hear me say, I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. A hand just went up. I see that hand. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. I see that hand, you can put it down. God loves